Remember, I made a grinder, bro. I made a fucking grinder, hey. And I was like, I'm not here for dick, but I am here to give you a fade on a professional level. And yo, I actually tailed in about like 15 clients. About 10 of them still stick with me. They're really cool guys.
You said you tailed in?
Yeah, man.
You tailed in from grinder?
2, 1.
Yo, what's up? We're back with Useful Nonsense. This is like the third re-fucking brand of Useful Nonsense that I've done. But I got my boy Javi with me.
That's good.
The dude, good. This is the man that really pushed me into getting into barbering. And this is kind of the focus of the whole podcast that we're going to be doing. A lot of it is going to be focused on barbering, our experiences with barbering, who we are as individuals. And then just a lot of the whole of the nonsense, you know what I'm saying? So it's really not going to be nothing too crazy. I mean, it might get crazy because barbers, bro, we do have some crazy ass conspiracies.
It gets a little crazy. It gets a little stupid sometimes. You know, it's all good though.
Yeah. But before we get going, man, let people know who you are, your journey into barbering. Give them a little 411 on you.
What's up, guys? I'm Javier Castillo. I've been in barbering legally about like 2-ish years altogether, on and off, almost 4, on and off. Kind of got it started at the end of college for me, and it's been a crazy journey. I got legalized during all this stuff during the pandemic, which was the craziest thing, seeing the world go from what it was to what it is now. Yeah, man. And shit, I'm nervous as fuck.
It's okay. That's the thing though, bro. People don't realize like when you get in front of a camera and a mic, dog, everything changes.
Yo, yeah,
everything changes, yo. Bro, because you're like, fuck, people are watching this.
Yeah, no shit.
People are watching. Dude, that no fucking shit. Freaked me the fuck out when your cat did that. Yo, that shit scared the fuck out of me.
My cat's just like sticking his paw out the like door.
Son, I just watched Smile, and that movie scared the fucking hell out of me. I watched that shit with my girl, and she loves horror movies, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Dang.
She loves horror movies, and she was scared. And I don't even watch horror movies. You can only imagine, bro, what the fuck I was going through.
Yeah, no shit,
I was fucking terrified at my asshole, bro. My asshole was clenching up the whole movie.
No, not the asshole, bro, being my clenched asshole up.
Was, bro, it was disgusting, dog. I needed to fart, and then people started behind me moving, and I didn't realize there was people behind me, and I had the whole movie, bro. I'm freaking out, because there's scenes in that movie. You got to watch the movie, bro. If you haven't seen Smile, that's a great movie. That's coming from a motherfucker that don't even like scary movies. So if you don't like scary movies, still watch it. It's a very good movie. I really hope they don't make a sequel.
Man,
I hope they don't make a sequel.
But that's the American like that's that film world for in America, right? Like, we always gotta have a sequel. Like, it's insane. Like, I mean, it took them forever, but shit, they just did a Hocus Pocus 2. I don't know if it's good or not. I haven't seen it, but that shit ended up happening. Fucking what, 20 years later? Crazy.
But that makes sense though. That's probably like almost like a reboot in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless sort they use of, the yeah. same. Are they using the same actors?
I think so. I think they are using the same actresses. Shit. Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Hey, so what got you into barbering, man?
Bro, just being broke in college. And, like, it was cool, though, because, like, my best friend's been cutting my hair for, like, 9-ish years. And I was like, yo, I just need, like, I'm tired of working at fucking I love HEB. Like, yo, y'all really instilled. They really instilled, like, proper customer service. Like, I really carry myself properly as a barber because of them, and I gotta thank them for that. But I'm glad I got myself the fuck out of HEB, because I was miserable as shit. Produce days, I don't miss that, but those were the days, man. And my best friend, man, he kind of just put me, I was like, why don't you just like get into barbering? If you hate it, you hate it, but you might end up loving it. A lot of people end up loving barbering. And I was like, all right, bro. One day he just dragged me to like this barber school. I won't name the barber school, but it was a bad one. But you know, it was bad because like I started at this Fairmont location, bro. This is so bad. I think I told you about this. Mm-hmm. I started out at their Fairmont location, and I guess allegedly the owner didn't pay the rent there, so they had like relocated all the students. And bro, I had to start traveling to Lamarck. Yeah, that's where the next location was at. And then that place got locked down, and I had to go start. I finished out my hours at the Dickinson location, bro. It's been a journey. Even the school part of it was such a journey for me. I remember my first like week. It was my first time seeing ringworm, bro. Oh shit!
You never seen ringworm?
No, I've never seen ringworm. I mean, I've Googled ringworm, But to see it and like have it in my chair, I was like,
yeah, that's a different feeling, man. Like when you see this shit, it's so weird because you don't really realize how, like, bro, I've been learning shit. Like my experience with barber school has been so crazy because I've just been fortunate, right? Like you told me about a really good school, and I got to give all my credit to you about me getting into barbering and taking that push because you gave me that them pair of clippers, the masters that you gave me back in January.
The OGs.
You gave me those in January, and they were just sitting on my shelf, haunting me every fucking day, calling me a pussy. You know what I'm saying? And then it took a lot of shit, bro, like me getting laid off. So I turned down a position with Tesla to stay at the company that I was with just to get laid off a week later. Mm. Just for a week later after I turned down Tesla, bro, they were like, hey, we're going to be laying you guys off.
That's right. That's right.
And for me, that shit was like, fuck it. But at that time, it was like, it really sucked because I was ready to fully commit to that company and then, you know what I'm saying? Like, work my way because they was going to be opening the new locations and I wanted to move with them. And because, bro, I was making good money. Like, between January and June, before I got laid off, I made 60 grand.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, man. You were.
I was.
I can tell you were making more money because this man was booking, like, almost every week. It was insane. Like, almost. He went from seeing me to, like, every month-ish to, like, every week. He's like, all right, bro, I'm going to catch you next week. All right, bro, I'm going to catch you next week. I'm like...
And that's the crazy part. That was the crazy part, bro, because I remember when you were cutting out of your garage and during the pandemic, and I would come to the garage, and I would come once a month.
Yep.
I would come once a month because I had no job. I was coming off of an Achilles rupture. That's and right. I was just learning how to walk and redrive and all that shit again, and I was like,
okay, you really been through some shit in the past 2 years. Now that I think about it, bro, like... You were limping, and this dude was limping towards me like a lot of times. Yeah, he was just like, "What's good, bro?" And I'm like, "Dang."
Yeah, because I was just learning how to walk again.
Yeah,
I started coming to you like in April or May of 2020. In terms of like you consistently cutting my hair.
Yeah.
And that was really cool because, dude, like I got to see your progress, in a way from you going from a garage. To you going into a shop, killing it at the shop, or being booked out of that shop every fucking day, like from open to close. Like you were, and I worked at that shop for a little bit too, so I know your, I know your workload. I saw your workload. I saw how much traffic you got. And now that you're transitioning into other things, into creating your own space, and it's so beautiful to watch, especially for me coming up as somebody like in the next generation under you, right? That was very eye-opening to see, like, the transition and the progress and how you can go from cutting in your garage to having your own fucking facility in 2 years.
Yeah, bro.
And, like, barbering can really do that for a lot of people. But kind of to go on the fact of the school, man, because I feel like that's a very important aspect that barbers just kind of, like, don't really talk about.
Bro.
When you're getting your license.
That's the most complicated shit because... There's a lot of anybody out there that's ambitious and wants to build some kind of institution, barber school. Hella opportunity. It's so sketchy out here nowadays for barbers. I mean, you don't really know what kind of school you're signing up for. I didn't really know. My boy kind of put me onto this school because he went to it, and even he kind of said, hey, it's a little sketchy, but bro, just put your money down, get your L's and your W's in, and you know, just like figure it out. You're gonna get your hours, that's all you need, and then I got you on passing that test. And like, he was right, but like, I coming from a college environment to this barber college environment, a college environment where you had a syllabus handed to you at the beginning of every semester. We didn't get no syllabus. We just they're like, all right, we're gonna do some theory, and then like the instructor would just go on about like, you know, motivation, and then he would just like go off of some like dude he saw on YouTube on about like motivation, and then and then he'd be like, all right, go out on the floor. And then we all just be like fucking up haircuts.
Bro, it's crazy. It's so crazy.
It was bad. I was like, dang, man.
I walked into barber school thinking like they're gonna be hand and footing me and shit like that, like just being one on one with me. Nah, man. It's really you learning everything on your own, and you really just try by error. You're like, you go in that very first cut. It's gonna be the worst cut you've ever done.
Yeah.
But it's crazy now that I've gotten a decent amount of cuts in. Like less than 50 right now, but it's like, man, I just going from my first cut to where I'm at right now, I'm so much more confident in my ability. And it's like, you take, and that's the thing, man. If you're somebody that's not confident, you're somebody that's not, that doesn't like to be uncomfortable, this might be the best way for you to learn to become more confident.
Man, okay. Yeah, 100%. Because, man, I remember we used to work together at HEB.
Hell yeah.
I was very introverted and to myself over there in produce. I didn't really talk to people. I'd answer customers' questions, but I wouldn't go out to people and be like, oh, how you doing? Da, 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 da. You know, I would just kind of keep to myself. But being in barbering, you know, put your ass right in front of this person and tell them what the hell they want. And are you going to give it to them right? Or are you going to talk good conversation? And how you carry and execute that conversation? Man, learned a lot of social skills over the past 2 years. Like, I mean, in person, like every day, consistently social skills. Every day, even on the days I don't want to be there, I'm there. Crazy shit.
And you have to be there, man. That's the crazy part, is like you as an individual grow so much more because it's such an intimate thing. Or I'm breathing the same fucking air that you're breathing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
So
that's true.
It's in a way, it's a very intimate thing, and not in like a sexual way or anything like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because there's some people that'll do that. They'll be like, oh, it's so weird. Like, you're all over the dude's face. You go to a barber every week, bro. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel like them dudes that take it to that level, they got some shit they're hiding themselves that they need to just go ahead and confront that demon. It sounds like you purposely don't wear pink because, like, nah, bro, I don't want people thinking I'm sus.
It's gay.
Yeah, like, pink didn't make you gay, bro. You already gay. Just come out about it. Like, you just
pink
got
didn't
some...
make you gay. Your uncle did. You got...
bro, yo, basically though, like, you got some demons you need to figure out. Then you can come figure out cutting hair or getting a haircut. Because anyway,
yeah. But no, in terms of like, if you're not a confident person, bro, barbering is gonna break you down in a way, like mentally. Because bro, now I take pictures and everything of my cuts, and I go to barbershops, and I have like the barbers over there break my shit down, and I think I did a phenomenal job on a cut, bro. And I go to a shop, bro, and they'll be like, you suck.
Yep.
And that's, you need that as men in this industry, bro, and not even to kind of get into that menosphere or whatever it is that people call it, like the whole Andrew Tate shit. Nothing against the dude. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know him personally yet, yeah. But one day, you know, inshallah. we'll be the Bugattis.
Yeah.
But nah, man, it's like, cause you go in there, and you learn how bad you suck.
No, 100%. And like, and the thing, and I think that's the beauty too, barber school. Well, once it's implemented right, is that you got to break, cause you don't know who's coming into your school, who the student's gonna be, and whoever that student is, whoever they think they are, how important they are, they need to be broken down, a lot consistently, and then over time, if this is where they really want to be, they really want to rock this shit, they're gonna build themselves back up. In levels, not overnight, you know what I mean? I'm not even in a place in barbering where I really feel comfortable. Like, I'm always just like on edge, like, man, this cut's good. I'm getting a lot of compliments. I'm getting all sorts of likes and shit. It's cool, but I'm not satisfied. I could have done more. And it's that consistent ambition and hunger that in a way kind of steals from like the current moment, like joy I should be feeling, but it keeps me going to the next day and to the next week, the next year. And that's really important. And a lot of that all kind of, it's all a part of the foundation of what barber school can instill in like students and barbers, stylists and stuff like that. So I think that's what, like, that's an important part of the process. And then just like the way you take in like the L's you take. Because if you can't rock with the L's you take, if that's too much for you, you're having an ego death. Ooh. Man.
My boy went into ego death.
You gotta reevaluate some things and then come back to barbering and be like, all right,
you gotta humble yourself.
Yeah, you gotta be okay with not being the best. Like, literally, quite literally, you got to be okay with not being the shit. You're not going to be the dudes off of Instagram. I don't care what TikTok tells you. Just every fucking day, show up, take tons of pictures like I told you,
mm-hmm.
and then ask people, talk to people. This is a perfect opportunity to make friends and network with people.
Yeah.
Your homies that down there, the booth down there or over here, going to be at some shop, you never know, in a year or two from now, that you might want to be at someday. So, man, the connections you make,
You gotta nurture it, man. Just go into, even like something that I'm learning that I'm implementing, coming into this game. And for me is, I'm okay with talking to people. See, back how you was mentioning how you're the introverted kind, right? I was always the extroverted guy. I was the one that I was in every fucking department when I was at HEB. talking to every motherfucking body. I had no problem having a conversation with anybody, and I still don't, right? So I feel like for me, that was my biggest strength coming into barbering, was I can have a conversation with a fucking wall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you put me in front of a wall, empty wall, I'll talk to it. I have no problem. I actually enjoy having conversations with people, learning about people. For me, it's the skill aspect, right? And I think you developed the skill so quick because of your introverted abilities, because you're able to just dial in and just singularly focus on something, where my brain is just like, I want to go do this, go do that.
This is true, yeah. I do have a fixed tunnel vision.
Yeah.
I can't really be like all over the place. So like when I'm doing stuff, I'm just like, I'm channeled in. And it kind of gets bad too, because sometimes I'm just so... That was really bad for me in my beginning stages of barbering, because like sometimes I would focus in so much, because I would divide my haircuts. I would do half the cut and fade and stuff like that. But then I'd get so tunnel visioned in. Boy, it's been like 40-ish minutes now. You should have been done 20 minutes ago. So I'm like, fuck, okay. So then, you know what I mean? That was all part of the process. But, you know, that's just more to the foundations that you're building to along the way. That just kind of shape you to who you're going to be in a barber, as a barber, you know?
What was your pitfalls when you were first coming into barbering? Like, areas where you struggled the most, in your opinion? Either skill, is communication, customer service. How did you get more asses in your seat, basically? More heads going. What was your process like of developing that clientele? You know what I mean? Like, what are some of the things that you did up?
The thing I struggled with the most was... pretty basic, kind of like the fading system.
Mm-hmm.
I always played with like open lever, close the lever, and then fade up to the lever, or okay, open lever, fade down. I was always trying to figure it out, and I think once I just found a way to like that just amicably made sense for me, then I was like, all right, no, I like this fading system a little bit more. And then also just keeping a clean station, that was something that like I didn't realize I was OCD about my station until I realized I didn't like my station being so messy by the end of a cut. So like as I'm cutting and stuff like that, I'm setting this back over here, or I'm kind of blow drying this area down a little bit. I'm fading this, I'm brushing, I'm just going through all these motions. And then before you know it, I'm done with the cut. My station ain't so dirty. Then by the end of the day, like I really only got to just sanitize some of my stuff down, you know what I mean? Brush and do some cleaning, and then I'm done. I can dip.
Yeah.
That's something that like that was a big thing in the beginning. Yeah.
Did you ever wait tables?
No, I did not.
You didn't?
No, that was in high school.
So one of the things that like I think I can relate to what you're talking about with that was cleaning your system. I mean your station while you were cutting. It's kind of like pre-bussing. You know, like pre-bussing for people that are in the serving industry and stuff like that. It's like when you know you got appetizers and the plates and stuff like, you're not gonna leave everything on the table. You're gonna keep coming in. Keep picking up plates and cleaning up and stuff like that. So that way you ain't got to really clean up that much after the main course is done. You're just coming up, picking your plates, whoop-de-woof, you know, handle it. The bus boys come in.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Yeah.
So it's like, it's very similar to that. So like, that's a very important thing, sanitization. Because we were just talking about ringworm and how that shit is and how quickly those things can spread, like, you know, like hair spores and all these things, man. It's a lot of things that go into it. Like somebody gets cut, what do you got to do? You know, there's so many different regulations that you got to follow, and you're thinking about that. And that's kind of where I'm struggling with. In terms of like, for me, I'm okay with going out and talking to people and trying to get haircuts in, right? That's not a problem. It's like just remembering all those steps of like cleaning and making sure everything is clean. I'm not saying that I'm a dirty person or anything like that. If you come to me, I'm going to make sure you're good, you're safe, you're healthy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's one of those things where it can get overwhelming at times. You're trying to do too many things at once. So it's like,
because it's a lot of stuff.
Bro, it's a lot.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of
stuff. It'll take you time. You'll find your own system. And then before you know it, it's all dummy proof. It just becomes a reflex. Just like your fading system's gonna become a reflex. And then your 40-minute appointments are going to take you like 30 minutes. And if you're really pushing for it, you can probably push it down to 25 minutes, 20 minutes.
How did you speed up? Like, how did you get faster at your cuts? Was it understanding the systems better? Or was it knowing your clients a little bit better for you?
Understanding my clients and understanding my tools. And then setting your tools. And checking your tools at the end and beginning of every day. Because sometimes... those screws they give you in some of your clippers, they're not the best screws. They're made from scrap metal. come to find out. And most. And those things, the grooves in there, they strip out a little bit, and they wear out, and then before you know, your perfectly gapped like clipper gets a little uneven over time, and then you go and you tighten it up, and then you kind of strip it a little bit over time. So then you gotta check on stuff like that. So if you start and begin your day, like, bruh, that's a big thing that kind of helps you speed up. Just cause like, you may think your shit's perfectly set, so you're just sitting there all day, just like, what the fuck. And then you look and like, damn, my left side's a little way off. My right side's like way down. Like, hold on. That's a problem, right?
Yeah.
So then you whole time you're second guessing yourself by your third for your first client. I don't know. And you're like, why is it taking me so long to fade this line out and shit like that? So if you keep an eye on your stuff like that, and then just knowing your tools and having like a dedicated fading system for just about any hair texture. I mean, you want to have at least two fading systems that you can divide between different kind of hair textures, and then you go from there and figure it out. And some people just have a singular fading system. And you know what? I give props to guys like that. For anyone that's using detachables, man.
Ooh.
Sheer Fades, YouTube. He is...
Hey, that dude is crazy.
Crazy. He's insane. I wish I could do detachable fades the way he does. And he does it fast, too.
Detachables, man. Like, once you get your system down and you understand detachables, I think detachables can be a very, very... very good way for you to speed up on your cuts.
Yeah, man.
And understanding, like... But the system with detachables is so weird. Like, you got the zeros, you got the A's, and the...
Everything's very short, too.
Yes.
Well, you see a number one, and then you look at your one guard, and you're like, oh, these are the same size. No, the fuck, they're not. Look at the millimeter. Look at the... It's a vast difference. Man, I remember someone at my school fucked up that one.
No way.
They ran a one blade, detachable.
Oh,
over this kid's hair, over his waves. Oh no, I'm sorry. Oh. Down with the wave.
Oh, those waves are gone.
Oh man, it was bad. Bro, he had to go home for the day.
Yeah,
we didn't see him the rest of the week.
I would have went home and cried.
Cool guy, but
is he still cutting?
He actually is still cutting. He's a lot better off, too.
There you go.
You learn from that shit, literally.
You have to.
Those are the L's you literally have to take to get to the next level. It's just a matter of setting your ego aside and just going all in on that shit.
Yeah.
Whether it goes south or, you know, it goes north, man, shit. Just got to rock with that the best you can.
100%. Yeah, man. And the detachables are really crazy because those are, for people that don't know or are new into barbering or anything like that, the detachable blades and their numbers are true numbers. Like, if it's a one, it's a true one. It's not like a purple guard for Andy's one, or a, you know, a wall guard one, or anything like that. This is a true number one. Because I feel like even with those guards that I just mentioned, the purple guard for Andy's or the wall guards, I think they still have a little bit of space. So it kind of gives you that almost of a half in a way. Like, almost like your one is not really a one. It's like a 1.25.
Yep.
It gives you that extra give just so that way you can kind of go in and not, you know, if you did fuck up somewhere, you didn't take off enough, you can go back. Because the thing about haircutting, man, once you take it off, you can't put it back on.
Nope. Done. You just got to figure it out.
You got to figure it out. So just having that understanding of knowing, like, hey, I'd rather take off less in the beginning and then take off more than take off more in the beginning and... need more.
Later. Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the first things you told me when I was telling you, I was like, hey man, I think I'm gonna pull the trigger on barbering. You're like, always cut less than you need to cut in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then go and cut more if you need to.
I can't think of the stories off the top of my head, but I know for a fact I learned that. Like, that was one of my biggest L's, was like taking way too much off in the beginning and then just be like, fuck. The hell we gonna do now? You know, like, shit, it's already done.
And you ever lie to your client and be like, no, this is a two?
Yeah, no, bro. Hey, no,
bro, this is a two. You got thin hair, dog.
Yeah,
you
man.
Got
thin hair. You've been stressed. Like, what's going on? Like, you good with your girl? Like, what happened?
Bro, this shit's like a therapy session for a lot of people, man. Like, I had this, man, it's funny to cut kids.
Kids are funny.
Kids are hilarious.
I live for kids, bro. I live for kids coming to my chair because they never hesitate to spill the tea with what's going on in their parents' life. It's just so funny. I love when single parents' kids come to my chair, because they spill the most tea. Oh my god, I had one kid. He'd be like, yeah, you know, and then sometimes like mom goes away, you know, and then your uncle Freddie comes over and then he'll tell me about like a babysitter that he's really cool with that he spends a lot of time with. I'm like, okay, so your mom will just be going out a lot. Okay, no, it's always the ones in scrubs though. I'm like, oh, nah, but like,
damn.
I'm just saying,
nurses are whores. Hey, how many of those single moms are trying to hit on you?
Man, you know what, man? Only ever a few, because like I keep it real professional, because like, man, you kind of have to. I try not to shit where I eat, because I learned that lesson in the HEB life. You don't shit where you eat.
Bro, so coming HEB, for people that don't know about HEBs, bro, if your girl work at HEB or your dude work at HEB, they fucking somebody at HEB.
Facts.
They are fucking somebody. I have working at HEB fucked somebody else's girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yo,
your girl. Hey,
what's this win? Hold on.
Hey, you know what HEB stands for?
Shit.
Hoes eating balls.
I don't stand for this HEB. Listen.
HEB, we'll still take playing sponsorships. We'll come give out free cuts. Whatever we gotta do, we give back to the community. Yeah, no, they can't sue. That's not nothing.
HEB shows up with like a mallet. He's just
oh
like,
my god, bro.
He's just like, hey, who the fuck was? Bro.
But it's facts though, man. Anybody that work at HEB, they definitely fucking somebody at HEB. This is how it goes, man. Good, great times. Car wash days.
No. Hey. No. Hey, you ever not got, the car wash. Hey,
you ever been in a car not wash? Car wash. You ever been getting your car washed with all that soap in that motherfucker and then you get topped off, bro?
No.
Damn, dude. HEB was the truth, man. Yo, but HEB was, I mean, I love HEB. I will not shop anywhere but HEB.
Taught me a lot about customer service.
Yeah.
Man.
HEB is all about putting their people first.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then just treating your employees first. Like, if I ever go down the road of, because I always rant on, like, with my clients that always ask me, like, you want to own your own barbershop one day? I'm like, no, I fucking don't, bro. But that's just where I'm at now. Like,
bro.
Because I see the way it works. And basically, you're babysitting a lot of adults. And, like, barbers aren't your average 9-to-5 employees. Like, you got meth heads, you got people with like baby daddy drama, you got people on like parole and probation that are low-key not up to good things, you know what I mean? They bring it to the shop. They're just not your average 9-to-5 employee, to say the least. So
yeah,
and to say, I've seen a lot. It's been a challenge,
bro. Even at the school, man, they be barbers, they be, you know, dudes over there, they'd be trying to, you know, like selling shit, like, you know, not to put people business out there or nothing like that, but like they be on that shit where they still trying to like trap and all that stuff, and I'm like, bro, you can't do that.
And see, man, some of the best barbers I met a barber at BarberCon Dallas, and you barbers that don't know what the hell that is, look up BarberCon. It was the best experience. I met a barber, and He's a big influencer barber. I'm not gonna put his name out there, but you know, he kind of came out, was like, yeah, you know, I used to sell a little bit of dope in the beginning of my barber career, but you know, after I started taking things serious and I built more systems and I took barbering serious, and then it took me serious, and then it took me to new levels, and then I did my best. And he started putting all his time into barbering. Then barbering started coming back onto him, like just started getting better clients and just an all around. You didn't have to trap no more. No trap life was a thing of the past. It was all cuts from there on forward. So like, that's an inspiration right there, because like that's very unlikely, man. People usually, when they're trapping, they stay trapping, you know, just because it's that good quick cash on hands, you know.
And in a way, like, you can apply that same type of mentality to barbering. Like the same type of shit people be putting their weed and all that shit on their Instagram, bro. Why don't you just put your cuts on Instagram? Why don't you put your, like, the way you do it, like, you put your clippers and, like, you, the way you, you know, you present, like, hey, cuts, you know, these are the spots that are available, whoop-de-boo, book, you put the link in there, like, and you always, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to do those type of things. Apply that same type of mentality if you're in the drug game or anything like that, that mentality of that drug game that you get, that hustle aspect that you get of always going in and getting it, you can apply that to barbering, and, man, that shit will come back to you tenfold.
And then the people you're going to meet along the way, you start moving up in like your tier levels of clientele and the kind of people you're going to get in your chair that just know things or the things they do for a living. You know what I mean? These big high-end these high-end white-collar jobs, and they know, they're lawyers, whatever.
Oh, dude.
They put you, they just connections, and then these just become your connections, and then they fuck with you long term because they like who you are as a barber, man, and they just put you on new level of game, you know what I mean? Just showing you how to do your taxes better as a barber. Most barbers are lacking in the
speak on that game,
man. That's a big thing.
And I be telling a lot of these kids at the school, man, because
save your receipts.
Get an LLC first.
Buy clippers, buy anything, clean shit, put it all in a Ziploc baggie. And then this is the year 2020. All right, cool. Sharpie market. Keep it all airtight. Seal that shit. Next year, all the same receipts. Save it all. And LLC is the next thing. That's the next thing. That's
LLC, gonna be a thing. Man. Anybody, if you're an entrepreneur in any way, shape, or form, get you an LLC. You can write so many different things off that you didn't even think you could write off at the end of the year, like equipment. Travel expenses, bro. You like to travel, make it to where you go. For me, one of my plans is, and I don't mind putting it out there just because it's, you know, I mean, it's free game, I guess, where I want to work 7 days a week for 3 weeks straight, and then 1 week out of the month go and travel to like different countries and stuff like that. But while I'm traveling to those countries, going into barbershops over there and talking to barbers over there, because, bro, the European barbers, in my opinion, are so much further ahead.
They are.
In terms of like, because a lot of that, the stuff comes from the East to the West. Like in terms of fashion, in terms of hair, in terms of everything.
Yeah.
Like the streetwear, all that shit originates like in Korea and Japan, goes to Europe, and then comes to the States.
Yep.
What's popping right now was popping in Japan and Korea and Europe like 2.5-3 years ago.
Yeah, man. Everybody in the States here, I know we think like we're new age and we're on some new shit, but we're actually really
good. We're the last.
We're the last to find out
all the time. We're really the last to find out. I mean, and it's crazy because we're kind of the pop culture hub of the world in the United States, right? We export a lot of the culture in terms of entertainment. But when it comes to like the other shit, like, you know, like clothing, brand awareness, all that shit comes from the East.
Yep.
And I think a lot of that, and that's one of the things, like, so one of the plans I was kind of going back to what I was talking about with me wanting to go and have conversations with these barbers and even like do like a workshop if I'm there, you know, or like get mentored. That way you can write your trip off. Yep. You can write that shit off.
You can write off your booth rent. It's crazy.
You can write off booth rent.
There's so much you can do. If you consider like a part of your house, like an office, that's technically a workplace.
Yes.
You can write.
As long as you have a home office, if you have a designated area in your house that's you operate as a home office, that's a write-off. That's like you'll save like $4,000-$5,000 in taxes each year on that shit.
Bro, it's crazy.
Phones, meals, like you go out somewhere, you go out to eat, whatever, whoop-de-woo, and you bring up barbering, you bring up what you do, you try to recruit people, you know, clientele, you just hand out a business card. And you can constitute, they technically constitute that as a write-off for business expenses.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
try to stay away from that cash game, too.
And one other thing I'm learning. Cash game, man. Cash, I mean, it's cool. Go ahead, go on it.
Cash game, man. Like, it's cool to get cash, but, like, when 80% of your income's cash, and you're trying to get a house, you're trying to finance a car.
Bro. Yeah,
and whenever they're just like, technically we only see $10,000 of income here. What's going on? You know, and then you sit there and you say, oh well, you know, I got some cash here. Like, oh, untaxed money. All right, and then that's you know, that's where they get you.
You never want to owe Uncle Sam money. Donations too, people. You can donate your fucking money. If you got taxes, bro, and I feel like charity work. In barbering, it goes hand in hand because you're already doing a community service and you're already doing something so ethical to where if you need to clean a little bit of your money, and I hate to use it in that word, in that term, I'm not teaching money laundering. This is just to kind of make it to and put it in lame's terms, right? If you need to clean your money, charity, bro.
just donate some money. Like, you're going to feel good about it as an individual, as a human being, because you're helping people out. But at the same time, you're also doing it for a selfish reason, because it's going to help you in the end of your taxes.
Yeah, man.
Right? Don't, and if you're a cash...
I forget about charity, man. I forget about charity. That's crazy.
Bro, most people forget about this shit.
I was just thinking about that. Like, it hit me like, charity, damn. That is something I can do. Yeah, man, damn.
Like, think about it, bro. You owe $20,000 in taxes and you donate like $5,000-$10,000 each year. That just cuts your tax bill in half.
Literally. Right? Literally. And it goes to something.
And then you got other write-offs. And then if you have other write-offs like equipment, travel, gas. Because most barbers, we're 1099.
Yep.
Not every barber is a W-2. Now, you have certain barbers that are W-2 barbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
W-2 barbers, man, shout out to y'all, because y'all, some of y'all be getting benefits and shit like that, and that is beautiful. Congratulations to you, and I wish nothing but more success for them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you also got to give a big chunk of your money.
Yeah, exactly. And like the grand, you know, but the grand majority of barbers, like you said, are, you know, they're 1099 barbers, and you just got to play the game, right? It's just the things that, like, they don't teach, like, in barber school. This is just shit you either hear from us, or, like, you just have a really cool client who's just so happens to be a CPA, an accountant, right? And then he puts you on a game or something like that. Yeah. So I hope y'all are taking some notes or something from this.
Some notes, for sure, man. Like, I mean, man, this is useful nonsense. This is what we do.
Man.
We may have fun. We may talk shit, but we're going to spit game.
Yeah, man.
We're going to talk about it from personal experiences, too, because it's going to allow people to really see, like, and it's crazy because we're in two different levels of our careers too, because you're way more established in your career, where you're at in your journey as a barber, than me, where I'm still in that accusation phase of my skill, right? I'm learning, like, right now, bro, I'm offering free haircuts. I'm going to, like, recovery centers. I'm going to places where I know if I fuck up a haircut, you're not gonna get mad, because I'm volunteering. Volunteer at places, people.
I remember my beginning stages. God damn, I did the most too, man. I mean, I wish I did the charity stuff, man. That's actually really cool. I didn't, man. I remember I made flyers, and I would go around, like, college. I went to, like, San Jac, U of H Maine, and I just put, like, just flyers. I had like my QR code to take my Instagram, my Snapchat, $13 haircuts, da 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 da. Bro, I remember I made a grinder, bro. I made a fucking grinder, hey. And I was like, I'm not here for dick, but I am here to give you a fade on a professional level. And yo, I actually tailed in about like 15 clients. About 10 of them still stick with me. They're really cool guys.
You said you tailed in?
Yeah, man.
You tailed in from grinder?
But, you know, and then, you know, those are really solid guys, man. That was just part of the process. And then also I did the same shit on Tinder as well. Bumble, fucking Hinge. I wasn't even trying to date. I was just straight up, I was abusing dating apps. I was just using it for marketing, like a fucking platform.
Bro, but that's genius. Yeah, you're thinking outside of the box.
Literally, bro. Like, and I tailed in people, like, actual, like, I got girls that were like, you know, my brother needs a new barber, da, 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 multiple times. I got tons of little brothers. I got a lot of kid work in too. So I don't, like, a good majority of them are still with me to this day, or have me on social media. What's good? But, you know, and then that was just part of, like, the process. I wish I would have gone. I wish I'd have gone on the Vic Blends route. That's genius, bro. How he started out in 2020. I remember. No. It was in 2019. He went on a world tour, a country tour, where he was doing education and stuff. Bro had to have been 19, maybe 20. Then it was 2020, like, in like 3 months from whenever I met him at the education tour. He was the coolest guy ever. And then the pandemic shut the whole world down. But he was still out there doing these, like, stool haircuts. And that he started this stool haircut thing where he set a stool out on a table and he talked to people about their lives. And some people were cool about taking their masks off and shit. And then he became the most viral sensation, like, within a month. And I was like,
yeah,
I fucking met him. Yo, he's the biggest thing now. MTV sponsoring him, Rockstar sponsoring, all these big brands are just, you know, funneling in money, you know, using his platform as an avenue, and he's using their platform as an avenue to generate more income. And it's just like the craziest thing to see this young guy who is so ambitiously handing out haircuts. That's why I give props to you for doing stuff like that, because that's really good. most barbers have too much pride to be working for free like that. And like that, and I know you say you're not as established, but like I will say, mindset wise, bro, give yourself more credit because you're a lot more established than most barbers are in the beginning stages. Mm-hmm. To be out there putting out labor for free, and will also be developing and just making connections with people. That's real important.
100%.
That's real important.
100%. And I think for me, with the benefit of that is I'm in a different phase of my life too. Like I'm more purpose driven now than I was. Like a lot of these kids coming in, man, in barber school, they're like 19, 20, 21, 22. You know what I'm saying?
It's a young audience.
Bro, 19, 20, I was doing cocaine.
19, 20, I was.
You know what I'm saying? When I was 19, 20, I was out here doing coke and shit, doing all this stupid shit that I was doing. And I tell these guys, man, and I be recommending books to them. I tell them, I love to give out free game to people because I was so fortunate in my life to have good mentors.
Yeah.
Right? People that just came into my life at a time where I really needed people to be like, hey, do this or do that, you know, read this book or maneuver yourself this way or align yourself with these, you know, these type of people. And yeah, so I try to pass that on because I feel like knowledge held is knowledge lost.
Damn.
Knowledge held is knowledge lost. Knowledge is supposed to be given.
Write that shit down.
I mean, and remember that shit, bro. Like, because, yeah, man, and I'm about to start volunteering at this recovery home, Kima Palms, and, you know, talk to those people because there's a lot of people that are in recovery, and then I feel like a fresh haircut can really open up a lot of people's mindset on how they look at themselves.
Yeah, literally. And then just people-to-people engagement. People are so annoyingly self-involved with their day-to-day. They forget how much human engagement with other people, just if it's your barber or your eyebrow lady, whatever, can do for you. Just talking to people that are outside of your circle of friends or work group. So, like, that's really important. I think that's something to hold on to because just making connections with how strangers or just having a conversation can do a lot for you going forward, especially in the way you carry yourselves. I know you think you know everything now because you saw a TikTok or a YouTube video, but I promise. There's a lot more to be learned out there in the world. There's a lot more L's you're going to possibly take too, but you turn those, you know, those lessons into blessings, you know what I mean? You can make the most out of it. You can get a lot out of barbering, especially in the way you carry yourself.
Yeah, no, I mean, getting your reps in, being a big staple in your community, man, especially growing up where I grew up in Houston, a barbershop was like a neutral zone. You know what I'm saying? There's no, it don't matter where you from, man. What set you claim, where street you from, what area, whoop-de-whoop, whatever. You come into a barbershop, all that shit's out the window. You're just talking to people. Everything is just, you know, all of that. So, yeah, man. I mean, what else? You got anything else you want to add on?
I can't think of anything right now, man.
No? I mean, we could be going off about 42, 43 minutes.
I want to add my ASMR special.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
All right, I'm good. I got my fix. Shit, man. I really just told the internet God. I made a grinder. I never thought I would admit to that out loud. Good times.
Hey, but that's the thing, though. That's so funny that you did that because that is such outside of the box, bro.
I was really doing my man, but I really got to thank Anthony for that. My guy who really got me, he says, dude, you just got to not be basic. And I'm like,
yeah.
All I know is what I see on the internet, and everything on the internet is technically basic. So I'm like, I guess I got to do the most. So I'm over here making a fucking grinder, utilizing my freaking Tinder, my freaking Bumble, my Hinge.
There's a lot of resources, man. We have a lot of resources available to us, and I think we don't take advantage of them or use them to their full capability. And we have to. You got to maximize everything that you got. Social media, dating apps, YouTube. YouTube is a big way to, I think. Like, a lot of people post on TikTok, and I get told, I'm not on TikTok in any way. I don't have an account. I don't use it. I don't post on it. Nothing. And I get people tell me every day, it's like, why don't you post on TikTok? You get so many followers, boo doo. Yeah, but TikTok is gonna die in 3 years.
Probably will.
It's gonna get replaced by YouTube. YouTube is gonna be the place. YouTube is the platform.
YouTube and Instagram are like Instagram is technically Facebook. So yeah, Zuckerberg versus YouTube.
That's it.
Just going neck to neck.
just I think YouTube is going to win in the long run because you get longer form content.
Oh, 100%.
Like, you could do shit like what we're doing right now on YouTube. You can't put that on Instagram.
It's insane what YouTube's become. I remember I would just, like, go on there to, like, try and watch, like, fight videos and all
yeah.
that. That or World Star.
The World Star. I was watching, like, shit like pro wrestling videos and, you know, like, highlights of NBA games and stuff like that because, you know. So it's like to see where YouTube's at now where people are making millions of dollars just literally. Having conversations.
Literally.
And like, bro, there's people that make millions of dollars watching people play video games.
Yeah. Yeah. No, literally. I mean, a lot of my younger like clients will like have their phones out while they're getting their cut and they're just like, they're watching like toy playing tutorials. I'll watch this kid play with toys and shit like that. And I'm like, dude.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. Usually I would just buy the toy, you know, or play with someone else's toy and be like, oh, yeah, I want that too. But they're like, I'm going to watch a video on it and see if I really fuck with it. And
yeah.
They never
buy it. I saw the YouTube wave changing a little bit when I was playing a lot of video games, and I would watch how to beat a certain level. Because I didn't know how to beat a level. I couldn't get past it. And I started watching YouTube videos on how to beat that level. And that's for me when I started kind of like realizing, like, I think I didn't really truly realize it until like as I've gotten older. But like that was like the age where YouTube was growing. And I mean, YouTube is still gonna at least 100x in the next 10 years.
I see it. I can see that.
100x.
I can see that.
Because they're gonna be able
it's
to
not
do,
going anywhere.
No, man, especially with the different types of stuff that's coming out, with so much more people having access to content and creating content. There's more data uploaded to YouTube every hour than recorded
and
human
if you
history.
Think about it, man, the things that get uploaded on YouTube, you're barely scratching the surface of what you can create into content.
Like, vlogging is dead. I think we can all agree that vlogging is dead.
Yeah, man. It's right? been a minute since I've even thought about watching a vlog. Yeah. I think I've only ever voluntarily watched a vlog because of a girl I was dating, and I was just like, what are we watching? She's like, oh, I'm watching my favorite vlogger. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, like, a lot of... You're not as interesting as you think you are.
Yeah, you're not that.
You know what I mean? And that's coming from people that are creating content. We're not as interesting. We're just average people.
Yeah, average people. We're doing average people things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're just... ordinary people wanting to do extraordinary things. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Literally.
We just want to have fun and talk shit. You know, and if we can help people out in the journey of figuring out their purpose, I think that's one of the things that I want to do. It's like trying to make purpose popular. Shout out to Toby Wigway for that. Toby Wigway, that dude, he's a, you know, rapper from Houston. Really.
Doing big things now.
Bro, the dude really put a lot of things into perspective for me. Like, not chasing hoes. The dude is married. All about his wife, God, his family, you know what I'm saying? Like, his craft. And the dude just is a workhorse. And I feel like that, like, listening to him, listening to Nipsey, people like that. Also, like, whatever you feed yourself in terms of content is also going to determine where you end up at in your life and with your goals.
It's true.
So, and then having people like, you know, my boy Javi, like, dude holds me accountable, like, in terms of, like, yo, don't worry about your cuts being bad. Like, just keep going. It's going to get better. Going to get better. You know? So.
You got to be real enough to call yourself out on some of this shit. You're like. Because I remember like one of my weakest points in the beginning was I was so shy with the shaver.
Ooh.
I was scared of the. I was like, man, if I take the shaver too, I don't know if I'm going to get that line out. I'd be playing with that shaver. I wasn't really like trying to. I wasn't as aggressive with it as I am today. Like right now, I'll go into it and I know I'm gonna fade it out, real easy. Back then, I'd be like, you're just
edging
it
in.
Play with it. You know what I mean?
And I'm learning that right now, like with the shaver part, like what you're
but
talking
it's stuff
about.
Like that, like pushing yourself, like all the things that's scaring you right now in the levels of your fading system. You just say fuck it. You know what I mean? And just. Fuck around and find out. The more you fuck around, the more you will find out. Hey. You know?
And being okay with fear.
Literally.
You got to be okay with fear. And then the fact that fear is your friend.
You gotta be friends with fear. You got to understand that. Okay, well, shit, I'm scared of doing that. And then you got to be like, all right, well, I'm about to buck up to fear. So because you can't be scared your whole life. I mean, you can, but you don't want to.
Fear's going to hold you back.
Yep.
If you don't hold, you know what I mean, you got to control your fear, your mentality, and calcify your mind. I think, like, for me, like, we're kind of talking about this off air. Like, when I went skydiving about 2 weeks ago, that voluntarily looking at death, there's a calm there's a calmness.
You crazy for that, man? I would have fainted.
Yes, bro. And I'd have been but that's the thing though. that's a blockage though, right? Yeah. That's a mental blockage that a lot of people get into. Man. Like, I would never do that.
I guess I gotta go skydiving now.
No, you don't have to. I mean, I always tell people, I told people like this, I'm one of those people, once I really love something, I'm going to promote it to the fucking fullest. Like, I'll tell everybody, like I love smoking weed. And I'll tell everybody, like, smoke weed, but it's not for everybody. Smoking weed ain't for everybody, bro. And even for me now, and I'm getting to that point right now where I'm like, damn, I don't even smoke like the way I used to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, not everything is for everybody, man. And
no, but try it.
Just try it. And,
try it once.
And just keep. And then if you really are bothered about not being good about it, and you want it, and you want to see yourself getting better about it, that's how you know it's kind of for you.
Mm-hmm.
You should kind of keep pursuing it. Yep. But if you have no interest in getting better at it, and you're like, fuck it, then just like, it's cool.
Yeah, and it
sell
will.
Your clippers to him. It's cool.
I'll take them.
Yeah,
I'll buy them, and I'll negotiate the fuck out of it.
Yep.
I don't pay full price for shit.
It's all good.
I'm brown. I'm not paying full price for
that's
shit.
How it is.
Bro, I'd be going to the fucking the supply stores and be asking for discounts. Like, he's like, bro, I'm already giving you a discount.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I want another one.
Man, you know what?
I want another discount, bro. Give me another
give
discount.
Give me like double discount. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro, just give me like the homie discount, bro. You know what I mean? Another 10% off, dog. Come on, man.
I think the best thing, because I remember the beginning when it came to equipment and getting things on sale, was OfferUp.
Ooh, okay.
Because you have some students on there from other schools or whatever, or whoever's pursuing things independently with barbering. They just sell the entire case of clippers and shit like that, and they'll be like, "Oh, I want 700." You'd be like, "Nah, I'll give you 200."
And no, I know. People will buy
I know. There's two. I know. I see two Gamma Ergos and a Babyliss shaver and trimmer. That's cool, but I'm gonna give you 200 for it, whole case and everything like that, guards, everything. You're not gonna use it anymore, right? Just
yeah,
fuck it,
dude. I forgot who was telling me, but they're like, a lot of people, man, they get their barber license, and when that first renewal comes, they don't renew. They don't renew. There's eight out of 10 barbers do not renew after their first.
I just renewed mine the other day. That shit was stressful. But it was easy, though. It was pretty easy. But I was like, oh, fuck, I hope I don't, like, fucking do it wrong. You know, and then I get, like, licensed as a cosmetologist or whatever the fuck. Yeah. I don't know. I'm horrible. I'm not that tech savvy when it comes to, like, government forms online. I'm like, fuck.
I just have to pay my franchise tax for my LLC. Dude, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Franchise tax.
Yes, bro. There's a franchise tax. If you have an LLC, there's a franchise tax that you got to pay. Now, this is in Texas. I don't know about other states. If you're watching this in another state, do not take my advice. I'm not a financial advisor. Talk to a financial advisor. But if you're in Texas, just know you have a franchise tax you got to pay. And there's that thing is based off your income or something like that. I didn't have no income last year in my LLC, so I just paid a late fee of $50.
My client's a CPA. Mike, I'm going to ask you about that. Franchise tax. What is that?
Yeah, why the fuck do I got to pay franchise tax when I'm paying income tax? Why am I paying taxes in fucking May when I fucking filed my taxes in January?
They're like, your taxes need to be taxed. What kind of shit is that? Like, Okay, well, fuck. There's just more to learn. There's just always endless shit to learn when it comes to this tax game. But, man.
Not just a tax game, but any game in life. Anything that you want to do.
Yeah.
Before we end on it, I think that's a really good book. I think we should probably start doing that where we read books and at the end of every episode or something like that.
I got a good book for y'all, too. I just got a good book. Right, give me one second.
Grab it. Yeah, for sure. But while he's doing that, I'm going to talk about the book that I want to promote. It's called Ikigai. It's a phenomenal book on like living a healthy, purposeful life. And I think that's a good book. What book you got, bro?
Man, this is The Six-Figure Barber. The Habits of a Six-Figure Barber. Habits. We were just talking about habits earlier. It's by Donnie Joseph. I am like a quarter in, and I'm like, dang, I got some fucking stupid habits I need to do away with.
Like what? Name one habit,
man,
that you feel like you gotta get rid of.
I don't exercise in the morning.
Oh.
Instead, I drink coffee, and I just give myself more anxiety along my day.
Yes.
Bruh.
So this is perfect, because Ikigai talks about that, about movement. Like, you don't have to do rigorous exercise. This is a very Western philosophy of working out. It's like, oh, you gotta go and you know, you got to go lift fucking 400 pounds. No, bro, just move. Go just, for a walk. Just
go run or walk for
go
a little walk. Bit.
Go walk. Go do some yoga. Go stretch.
Play some Kanye. I don't know, man. Yeah. Just get moving.
Just get moving.
First thing is, as soon as you get up in the morning, get a bottle of water. And just, if you got like a little like, apartment, has like a gym, like a treadmill, go run for like 20 minutes.
Or just, I mean, even if you don't.
You don't even need coffee because your body, your adrenaline just going to wake up. Like that, that's been my life lately. Like I haven't had coffee in about a week and a half now.
How you feeling?
Bro, I feel I'm tired right now because I had a long day.
Yeah, yeah,
I
haven't eaten much.
But if let's say I had lunch today, then like, man, I've been good. Like I've been having chicken and rice and a little bit of broccoli. That's been like my go-to meal prep meal. That's another good habit y'all should pick up because
I'm struggling with that.
We are in charge of our schedule, so we can create a lunch period for as long as we want it to be. Give yourself 45 minutes to eat and just chill.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. You're gonna be recharged, and then the rest of your day is gonna be easy.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm struggling with right now, I think for me right now, is because I'm putting in like 90-hour weeks, bro. From doing full-time school, I'm putting in more hours of school than most people in my school. Good. Like I'm doing 60-hour weeks, meaning the online stuff that they have us doing, the in-class stuff. And then I'm doing house calls. I'm doing volunteering stuff. So like I'm putting in 90-hour weeks, and that's what I'm struggling at right now is my diet. And, you know, like trying to get workouts in and stuff like that. So it's like, I'm getting to that point where I'm like, okay, I'm at certain amount of hours in for the first 2 months. I racked in almost 400 hours for my 1,000 hours that I got to do to get my license.
Yeah, man.
So I can still go at that pace, right, if I want to. But at the same time, I got to focus on my health in terms of working out consistently, eating right, doing all those things too. So I think that's a little bit of game.
Hell that we can yeah, give you bro. Because, like, what's the point of working so hard if you're not going to take care of yourself, you know?
Yeah, because you're going to fall apart.
Literally.
And then with us, you have
busted your ass to be such a good barber for nothing because, damn, you forgot to put the fork down and run a little bit longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like little things along your week that you can just do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would just overall create a better health for you.
And for us, we're in this position all day long,
bro. I was just kind of hunched right now. Yeah, like, it's bad sometimes. I just end up shrimping and I'm like, yeah, damn, okay, it hurts to correct your posture after. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, for me, I like to sleep on the floor.
Wait, hold on.
I love sleeping on the floor.
You're crazy.
Nah, bro, because it's
you're
actually
built different. It's okay,
bro. I grew up it's in a third fine, world bro. Country, bro.
It'd
like,
be like that.
When I was growing up, me and my mom, we didn't have a bed. We slept on the fucking floor on the sheets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, I feel more comfortable like that. My body feels a lot better when I do sleep on the floor. My back doesn't hurt. You know what I'm saying? I've had a lot of injuries from different sports, from doing parkour, from doing martial arts.
Yeah, bro, your body's been through it. I forget about that. Like, I really don't give it much thought until you start talking about it.
Yeah. But at the same time,
he's fucking himself up sometimes.
Dude, I'm fucking an idiot. I get hurt walking.
It's true.
And this is where like things like yoga and stuff like that come into such a big effect for me. So mindfulness, yoga, meditation, journaling, you know what I'm saying? Taking time for yourself. If you're burned out, you feel burned out, you feel like you're getting to that point where you're burned out, take some time. It's okay to take some time to go recharge. Because you're not, especially in a service that we do, if you're not at your 100% every fucking day, and you won't be, I mean, nobody's ever at 100% every day. But in terms of like the peace inside of you, you gotta go figure that out.
Yeah, you gotta show up for yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're gonna do it for anyone, do it for yourself. You 100% you should always be doing it for yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your health is so important. We're in an industry where we don't get health insurance and shit, unless you're like in that particular setting. But at that point, you're having too much money taken away from you. And that's rare to find that in a shop.
Yeah.
So
not just that, but like the money that you give up doesn't equate to the value of the insurance or the value of the other things that you're getting. You could possibly work in a booth rent situation.
Crazy.
And get health insurance, you know, separately and, you know, still make probably more money doing that. But you need the clientele for that.
Exactly.
So it all comes back down to your service.
So if you're below the age of 26 and you're in the barber industry,
fuck healthcare.
Go hard right now because you're probably insured. And if you're not, damn. But if you are insured, go hard now. Don't hurt yourself, obviously. Don't be like Rafi. But it's okay to just figure this industry out. You got time until you're 26. Because having to go to the doctor or whatever with no insurance, bro, they're going to get your ass. bad. I'm talking like $300 a visit, depending on where you go, you know? Crazy.
Yeah. It's a wild game. Any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. Man, just keep showing up for yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. Just keep showing up. The best thing you can do is just show up and do it again the next day. And learn from every mistake you do make. Take in those L's, make those lessons into blessings.
Ooh.
That's really it, man.
And I feel like before, one closing thoughts for me, fuck up on purpose. Teach yourself how to fuck up on purpose and fix that. Because then you're going to be more comfortable with, if you fuck up by accident, you're going to know how to fix it.
Exactly.
So that's something that one of the barbers that I was I'm trying to get mentored by told me, like, just fuck up on purpose.
Versatility.
Yep. But on that note, I'm Ruffy. This is Javi. We're going to do our best to give you guys content every week, multiple times a week if we can, depending on our schedules and everything like that.
Every now and then, we're going to start posting questionnaires. If you have any questions about barbering, anyone else that has never thought about barbering and you're just interested about it, you have questions, I'm going to post up and ask me every couple days. Just keep an eye. Follow me on Instagram at SaviHavi, two I's at the end of Javi. And keep an eye out for that. And we'll answer a lot of those questions. I think Rafi's going to be doing the same thing as well. So that way we can kind of just talk about these things. Because people have a lot of questions for this industry. They just never ask.
Yeah, man. And that's the thing. Like, and all that other, all of our social media stuff is going to be on there. And you're going to be able to go do that. If you're in the Houston area, the Clear Lake, Webster, League City, whatever area you're in, my man got his shop running, his studio space running. So you need a fresh fade, hit him up. You're looking for a free fade, hit me up. You know what I'm saying? Either one of us will get you right. You know what I mean? We may not be the best, but we're going to give you our best.
Exactly.
You know, and on that note, thank you. Peace.